There was an older gentleman who was walking through the park, and he sat down on a bench, and while he was sitting there, a little girl came up and sat down next to him. And the man said, "How old are you?" And she said, "Well, I'm 10 years old." He's like, 10 years old? Well, then you go to school naturally. And she said, "Well, yes and no." He's like, "What do you mean?" She said, "I go to school, but it's not naturally." In the next 2 weeks, starting this week and over the next 2 weeks, kids are going to be going back to school. And children are groaning and parents are rejoicing. You know, it's been a while for me, but I remember many of my teachers. How many of you remember your second grade teacher? Okay, how many of you remember your fifth grade teacher? Okay, so, yeah, we remember our teachers. And I remember well Mrs. Ganter. She would come in and substitute in kindergarten and first grade, and we all loved Mrs. Ganter. She was just a wonderful, sweet soul. And then there was Mr. Harold. Mr. Harold was my Spanish teacher in high school, and he was also an alternate for the United States Olympic weight powerlifting team. So he was a pretty built man. And then there was the other Mr. Harold. So the first Mr. Harold was about 5'4" and about 3.5 feet wide and just like a solid rhinoceros of a man, you know. The other Mr. Harold was about 6'4" and weighed about 90 pounds. And this other Mr. Harold, he went to my church and I knew him. He was a few years older than me, and now we're dear friends. But then I was a student and he was a substitute band teacher. And when I was in the band in school, I played trumpet. Unless Mr. Harold was there, and then I played the tuba. And the tuba player played a piccolo. And the piccolo player picked up the saxophone. I think you see where this is going. Yeah, Mr. Harold thought we were the worst band in the whole world. But, you know, I'm sure that you all have stories that you can tell of teachers, and they're you know, they touch our hearts, or, you know, they make us laugh. But, you know, most of what happens in school, or should happen, is learning and teaching, right? That should be what happens in school. And since school is starting in these next couple weeks, I thought I would speak to you today about learning and teaching from some biblical points of view. Solomon, according to Scripture, is the wisest man to ever live and ever will live. He was the second son of King David, and God chose to raise Solomon up into a place of kingship. And when he did that, he asked Solomon, "Ask for anything, and I'll give it to you." And Solomon asked for wisdom. And God said, "You have chosen well. Because you have chosen well, I'll give you so much more as well." And Solomon, being the wisest man, wrote many of his thoughts down in a book called Proverbs. And he had a lot to say about learning and teaching, and much more to say about learning than he did about teaching, because in order to be a good teacher, you need to be what? A good learner, all right? And so this morning, I'd like first to speak to students, and I don't know that we have any here, but there may be some watching from home, but you need to listen to this as well. So the first thing I want to share with students is from Solomon is to accept quietly accept instruction, okay? Proverbs 23:12 says, "Apply your heart to the instruction and your ears to words of knowledge." Apply your heart to that instruction. And what it means is that the people who are most likely to learn are those who are willing to listen. Quietly listening to teachers and quietly taking criticism and discipline from others is a sign of strength. It's not a sign of weakness. And people who listen grow, and they become more wise as they get older and with age. The second piece of advice from Solomon is to love discipline. Love being corrected. Proverbs 12:1, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge." They love to learn. "But those who hate correction, they're stupid." Now, that's a pretty strong word. But you can go to school for 13 hours, you know, or for 13 years. But if you don't want to learn, then you're not going to pick much up if you're not willing to listen and all that. But if you want to learn, you can learn a lot. And that includes being willing to accept correction when you do something wrong, or even discipline, because it is within that correction and discipline that it's part of our learning process. But if you hate to be corrected, if you hate to listen, then you're not going to learn very much. The third piece of advice from Solomon is to listen to advice. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool, there's another strong word, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. A wise person listens to advice. If we only rely upon our own judgment, we can easily become biased to our own opinions. Our pride can get in the way and think we know it all. But a wise person asks for and seeks advice and listens and learns, because we can't know everything, can we? Now, if you're shaking your head, yes, we can. Now, you need to listen, because we can't know everything. So we need to listen and seek advice. And the fourth thing for students, if you do these things, and if you listen, and if you enjoy, well, if you humbly take discipline and correction and learn from it, and you seek advice, then you may be honored. Proverbs 13:18, he who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. And what it means is that if you really want to learn, you will have to accept discipline as part of your learning, and you'll become wise and honorable. But if you reject discipline and correction, and if you don't seek out advice, and you're not listening, well, you're not going to go very far. So for students, quietly accept instruction, listen, love to be corrected and have that discipline, seek and listen to others for advice, and you will become an honorable person. Much like the man in our first lesson from the book of Acts today, Apollos. After Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and after the disciples and Paul began to spread the gospel, Apollos began to teach. He came up, and he started teaching about the Messiah. And Apollos was a good teacher. He was a well-respected, well-spoken man from Alexandria, Egypt, and people followed him. People really listened to him because he had this charisma about him. But Apollos proved to be a better listener or a better learner. Apollos was good at teaching, but he didn't have all of the information he needed to be an excellent teacher. Apollos taught about Jesus from the Old Testament prophecies about who the Messiah would be and what the Messiah would do. And he taught from a standpoint of John the Baptist's baptism of water only. And he taught about repentance. We need to repent so when the Messiah comes, we're ready for him. Now, we're not sure. He began to teach these things, and he taught about faith in the Messiah. And we're not quite sure if at that point he truly believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But when Priscilla and Aquila got a hold of him, they took him aside quietly. And they taught him about the fullness of Christ and Jesus as the Messiah. And they taught him about salvation and being sealed and assured of our salvation and forgiveness of sin. And then being not just baptized with water, but baptized by the Holy Spirit, and how the Spirit can guide us and protect us and keep us and teach us and remind us of all things that Jesus taught us. And once Apollos learned that, he became an even better teacher, pulling people into faith, and he was able now to dispute the Jewish religious authorities. Apollos was willing to learn, and because he didn't let his pride get in his way, because he was willing to quietly listen, he became so much more of a better teacher. Now, speaking of teachers, some of my teachers that I had in school, I really respected. I had a lot of respect for them, but others, not so much. And quite honestly, it had very little to do, my respect for them had very little to do with their ability to teach, and everything to do with who they were as a person and how they treated people and how they treated us as students. You see, teachers, you are more than a teacher of a particular subject or grade. You're teachers of life. As kids, you know, we're awake. Our kids are awake for an average of 13 to 15 hours a day. And teachers, you have them for 7 to 9 hours of that time. Many parents see their kids for less than 5 hours a day. Your influence is incredibly important. For many kids, you are a role model of what it means to be a respectable adult, an example of how to relate to other people in a good way and what moral character is. Now, I just want to say that I think teachers, there's a lot thrown on teachers that shouldn't be. There are too many parents out there who expect that when their kids go to school, the teachers are going to teach them how to behave, and they're going to teach them how to be good and moral character. But that's not the way it should be. All of that should take place in the home before they ever get to school, and it's just reinforced by what happens in school. But sadly, teachers, many kids aren't getting that at home, and if they're ever going to get it, it's going to be from you. So here are just a few proverbs for teachers. One, help your students avoid the traps and snares of life. Proverbs 13:14, the teachings of the wise is a foundation of life, turning a man from the snares of death. I have read many stories about kids who come from bad homes or bad neighborhoods, and they're just caught in this cycle, and they can't seem to get out of it. It's just like a whirlwind, and they can't get out. But every so often, you read a story about a kid who broke the cycle, and they go on to have a decent life and a decent career and a family. And in many of those stories, the people almost always accredit a teacher who didn't give up on them, who said, I believe in you, you are a good person. For some, the wise teachings of a loving teacher is all that is needed to avoid the traps and snares of life that bring us down. Second piece of advice from Solomon for teachers, use pleasant words. Proverbs 16:21, the wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words promote instruction. If we want kids to hear and listen, our words need to be pleasant. They need to be done in a well-crafted way. I've never gained much from someone getting in my face and yelling at me and putting me down and using derogatory language, because I either just block them out or the blood between my ears is boiling so loudly I can't hear them anyhow. If you want people to hear what you have to say, then say it decently and use good words, pleasant words, as Solomon says. The third is speak at the right time. Proverbs 15:23, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word, a timely word. Not only is the choice of our words and the delivery of it important, but so is the timing of some of those things. Much of the advice for the student was to heed discipline and correction. But if that discipline and correction, no matter how well intended, is done improperly or at the wrong time, it can do more harm than good. If you correct a child or discipline them in the wrong way or in the wrong place or in the wrong, it can embarrass them. And you know, so many kids, well, I'm not sure if embarrassment is ever the best teacher. Maybe I'm wrong. But if you correct a child, it can cause some problems. But just as important as discipline is the timing of a kind word or an encouraging word. You know, so many kids, they come to school with struggles. You know, you see them wearing the backpacks. And the backpacks are heavier nowadays than they ever were. So full of books and pencils and notebooks and lunches. And you see them going like this. But if you're a teacher, you know that they're packing way more than books and pencils. They're bringing to school, carrying with them whatever happened that morning, whatever happened the night before, whatever happened during the week, they're carrying that with them. And that can make it very difficult to learn and to make friends. But a well-timed compliment or praise can make a huge difference in a student's day, even their whole life. Teachers, I'm not trying to tell you how to teach. I'm just, from the wisest man, here are a few things that he gave about teaching, and I hope you find them relevant. This time I'd like to just have us pray for our students. Gracious God, we thank you for the children of our church and of our families and of our community. And Lord, as they head back into school, we pray that you go with them. Lord, there are so many kids in the world who walk hours to get to school, or even they leave their family as young children and go to another country just to get an education. May we never take for granted this freedom we have and this right that we have to learning. Lord, we pray that as the students go back, that they reunite with their friends, but I pray that they make new friends, even with people maybe they never thought they could be friends with. Lord, we pray that as they sit, that their minds will be sponges that just absorb everything that they're being taught, and that it goes to their heart as well. And we pray that you keep them safe, not just walking down the sidewalk or crossing the street or riding the bus, but we pray for their safety in school. We've heard of too many school shootings, Lord, and we pray that we never hear that of a school around us. Lord, we pray that we don't hear that again this year. So we pray that you keep our students safe. And with COVID, the virus is still out there. These kids are all coming together. And we pray your hand of protection on them, and that you would mute the spread of this terrible virus. Lord, we also pray for our school teachers who have so much thrown on them. They're working more hours than they get paid for. They're spending their own money for supplies that they can teach the way that they feel is best for the kids. And it shouldn't be like that. So we pray that things can work in the teacher's favor, that they can have the things they need to teach. Lord, we pray for them as they look at their new class this year. And they wonder, how am I going to get to that kid? How am I going to teach that kid? And Lord, we pray for them as that other kid jumps on their last nerve and they want to say some things, but they can't. We pray that you give them a peace in their heart and control over their situation. And Lord, we thank you for the teachers and the gift that they have of being called to teach. Many ways today, it's a thankless job. We just send our kids expecting all of this to happen. But our teachers are special, and we pray that you would bless them with a great year. Lord, we pray for the school administrators and the counselors. We pray for the cafeteria workers and the custodians and the guards. We pray for the crossing guards and the school bus drivers. Everyone who has a part of making a school year successful, we pray for them, and we ask that you would bless our schools this year. And this we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, for the rest of you who aren't students and aren't teachers, lest you think that there's nothing here for you, wrong. After all, we are all called to be students, correct? And we're all called to be teachers. We are to be students of the Bible and of God's Word. We are called to be disciples. And what is the disciple? A disciple is a student. A student. And the role of a disciple was to learn as much from their teacher as possible and to become like their teacher. And once they had that knowledge, though, it didn't end there. But we are called to take that knowledge and make disciples of all people. Jesus saying, go out and teach them everything I've commanded you, everything I've taught you, you now go out and teach. But if we're poor students, we're not going to make very good teachers, are we? The author of Hebrews, and it's debated as to who wrote this. Some say it was Paul himself, but others attribute the book of Hebrews to our very good student teacher we spoke of earlier in Acts, Apollos. Either way, the author, he tells us that we are to be teachers of the word, and by this time in our age and where we are, we should be teachers, but yet we're not, because we're still taking the milk like a little baby. We haven't matured. We're not eating meat yet. And he says, that's not right. So he said, let us move on to maturity. Let's move on to perfection. Let's learn. Let's dig in. The author has been trying to explain that Jesus is the high priest. He's talking to the Jewish people, and he's saying Jesus is the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. But these people apparently didn't know that or were never taught that. And so he says, you've been slow in learning. You haven't been dedicated. You haven't been sitting down with the rabbis and hearing all this. He says, by now you should be teaching others, and yet you still need to be taught the basic elementary aspects of the faith. And that would be, you know, our Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and suffered, da-da-da. These are the basic tenets of the Christian faith, the building blocks of our foundation. And he says, if that's all you know, then you're still a little baby, and it shouldn't be like that. He said, by now you should be teaching others. And so, because they haven't yet learned the basics and just this, or beyond that, they can't move on into deeper theological aspects of the Christ and of God and where we fit into that. Our ability to understand God in a deeper sense is determined by our spiritual growth. But if we're not digging into the Word, if we're not sitting down and studying it and conversing with each other, we're never going to grow. We're going to be stuck just on the foundation. But we are to grow in the Lord. Jesus, in the writer of Hebrews in 6:1 says, let us leave the elementary teachings of Christ and go on to maturity, maturity being perfected, becoming more like Christ, moving closer to Christ. But in order to do that, in order for that to happen, we need to move beyond, not away from, but beyond the basics of the Christian faith to a deeper understanding. And when we do that, then we need to begin to teach. So as we become more mature and the basics of Christian faith are easy to us, now we're to teach that to the young children and new believers. And I want you to know that our discipleship team has been working. We've been meeting quite often, and we are developing several opportunities for the fall and Advent for you to get involved in small group or Bible studies that you can get in. You can sink your teeth into some meat. And I want to encourage you, if you're not part of a small group, check some of these out and consider being a part of it and learning and listening and moving on in maturity. But now some of you, you're beyond the building blocks of the Christian faith. You are maturing. But it's not just for yourself and your own good and your own salvation, but we are told to take that and teach now the building blocks of faith to the young in age and the young in spirit. And we are bringing our children's program, we're revamping this thing, and our children need teachers. Our youth need teachers. And some of you are sitting out there. And so I want you to pray about this week, and I want you to think and ask God, have thine own way, Lord. And if your way is for me to take a week once a month or once a quarter to teach the little ones about Jesus and Mary and the stable and the cross, that would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. So as we head into this new school year, let us not forget our students. Let us not forget our teachers. But also remember that we are all called to be students for life and teachers. And the best teachers are good learners. Amen? Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you today for your word and the wisdom of Solomon. We thank you for teachers like Apollos who give us an example of what it means to be well-learned, well-respected, but we don't know it all. That he was willing to sit and quietly listen to others, and it made him better. May we too, like Apollos, learn and desire to learn and seek advice from others, that we may become better teachers. But I pray too that you would give us the courage and the desire to want to share everything we know. Lord, we don't know it all, but we do know the basics, and we can teach that to our young ones. And I pray that you will raise up some teachers from among us. Lord, in all things, be with us and guide us. Amen.